Blog Talk Radio.
Currently sitting in 8th place in the Western Conference table, New Mexico United have won their last two matches, including their latest 3-1 victory over Colorado Springs Switchbacks on Saturday night. Welcome to a special edition of We Are Seek and Strike podcast, the official podcast of Seek and Strike Collective. I'm your host, Chris Walker. Never miss a previous episode of We Are Seek and Strike podcast by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and CastBox. If you hear something that you like, please consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. Please leave us an episode review on Apple Podcasts. But before we jump into tonight's show, we have a little housekeeping to get through. First, if you heard the song at the top of the show, it was Humor Me by California Redemption. If you enjoyed it, be sure to check them out on Bandcamp. That's California with a K. And of course, you could be a part of the show by sending your questions to our text line at 505-818-7187. Once again, that's 505-818-7187. Welcome back. And if you're new, thank you for listening in. We had to postpone our regularly scheduled broadcast of the podcast earlier this week due to sickness and family matters. I'm here at Roadrunner Law Firm Live. The rest of the crew will not be with me tonight. I would like to give a special shout out to my co-host, Seth Biedolf, Alicia Maldonado, producer Josh Carrillo, and Adriana Cortina. And now, let's begin the show. So we just got done with the match against Colorado Springs. What a match. New Mexico United win that match 3-1. Devin Sandoval gets a hat trick, and New Mexico is relit. Their fire is relit. Just some kind of things that I thought of that match. It seemed like a very complete 90 minutes of play. If you're watching it, whether live or if you're streaming it, it just looked like a full 90 minutes. I mean, we saw our boys ultimately go out there and have a great time. You saw the passing. The passing was crisp. You saw the chances created. Definitely, these last 2 weeks have been very night and day. So I'd like to kind of get into it a little bit and talk about United's current run of play. So looking at the match, if we just kind of go with that first off, New Mexico came out super aggressive, not really letting Colorado Springs out of their defending half. The first 10 minutes, it was just all New Mexico, just everywhere there was a ball, everywhere there was a player for United there just to stop it. Something else I really liked is that there was a point when Josh Suggs, Santi Moir, Chris Wehan, and Tony Soler, they all had touches on this ball. And, of course, that led to, ultimately, Sandoval's first goal of the night in the 8th minute. Of course, his 7th goal of the season. And it was just amazing. I mean, essentially, there was great ball rotation, and Sandoval was there for what some would call the garbage goal. However, that garbage goal was further out. So I definitely have to think that he took advantage of the chance that was being created there. Moving on, like I said, passing was definitely very creative and very crisp. It's like, what are we seeing here? they've been having fun becoming fancy again. Earlier in the season, if we remember, New Mexico United just out there on the pitch. The passing was phenomenal. There's several matches. You have your favorite one where they just get into a pass matrix and you got passes between the legs, passes behind the, like, just completely, like, no-look passes, just phenomenal stuff. I like that the passing was creative and crisp. They're having fun. And they seem very relentless when they have possession. And this last game against Colorado Springs, it was just that. I'm moving on here. So Hamilton puts a nice ball out in front of Estrada in the 23rd minute. I noticed there is, like, Estrada didn't necessarily make it to that ball, but Sam really just kind of laid it up. And, you know, we're really seeing a different Sam in this midfielder position since he's been back. That's been something definitely enjoyable to watch. Troy obviously knew what he was doing with that situation. At the 34th minute, it gets a little epic, obviously, in this match. This is where Robinson and Gonzalez for Colorado Springs both take a shot on frame. And it was like within moments of each other. The one shot off of the one bar, the ricochets, and then there's the shot off of the other bar. Neither one would go in. So essentially, no goal to worry about there. After that, though, it just seemed like it was all New Mexico. Schmidt and Cesar Romero danced around 1v1. Romero steals it away and then creates an opportunity for himself. Of course, it doesn't go in, but right then and there, I'm thinking, Justin, like, you're doing a great job in the back, but, you know, getting too fancy with the ball, it definitely can cost us possession, and we saw it there. We definitely just got to kind of get away from that. New Mexico by half. Obviously, we're up 1-0. So, looking at some of the stats from the first half. So, we had like 5 shots, 3 on target. We had 64% possession. And if you listen to previous episodes, me and Seth, we always talk about how possession really isn't all of the story in most cases. But in this case, it definitely did seem like it was a good majority of the story. I mean, given the fact that New Mexico had the most touches on the ball, I mean, it's evident as the game continues on. One thing that did hurt us was the 4 offsides. I mean, I guess you could look at that and say that the guys are eager. Had they played those on, there's potential goals there. So, but that was something to see. Colorado Springs, in contrast, 6 shots, 1 on target. They had possession 36% of the time. And then, of course, 1 offsides. So there was also no added extra time, or at least very little of that, in this game. So it definitely did play very fast. So then moving on to the second half, and this show is definitely probably the more deluxe version. I do miss having Seth across the table and Alicia here and Josh behind the board. It's definitely different. But moving on, right? So, all right, so second half. So moments after the second half starts, Devin Sandoval gets fed a pass. Let me rewind. Devin Sandoval gets a yellow card, okay? The call is probably very soft, but he gets the yellow card. So moments after that, of course, the ball gets routed to Manny Padilla. Padilla sends it up front, obviously, to Devin Sandoval. Christopher Reeves of Colorado Springs misjudges it, and ultimately looks like he falls over there. So Devin's got the ball 1v1 with the keeper. And, of course, you know, he puts the goal in, and so that's his second goal of the game. He's currently sitting with a brace, and this is in the 47th minute. Something I noted at that time was just the run of play, the pace, everything, again, was New Mexico. I mean, New Mexico really owned it. There wasn't any moment in that time where I was like concerned or where I thought that Colorado Springs poised a threat or anything of that nature. Later on into things, we get to, I guess, Devin Sandoval's third goal of the night. Padilla has the ball, passes it to Sandoval for a header. And obviously, it's more epic than the way I described it. But he gets the header in the 66th minute. This is obviously Sandoval's ninth of the season, his third one. He gets the hat trick. Padilla has two assists on the night, and New Mexico goes up 3-0. So at this point, they're trying to obviously preserve the 3-0, go out with a clean sheet for Cody's sake. And they're doing everything they can do. There's a point when Moir goes out, Bruce comes in. It seems like Colorado Springs is still trying. They're still obviously trying to put the ball in the net. So it gets to a sequence where Jome takes the free kick for Colorado Springs switchbacks. So the free kick does not go in, but it leads to a series of corner kicks, obviously all taken by Jome. At the top of the broadcast, it was mentioned that Jome and Burt were the main scorers for Colorado Springs switchbacks, and they're both the right backs. So this corner is taken by Jome, and then, of course, it goes in the middle. It's put in the net, ultimately, by Burt through a header. And things that were noted there is, like, that Burt wasn't really marked, and New Mexico still kind of struggled with defending the set piece. And this isn't the first time. We know that we've heard about New Mexico struggling to really defend the set piece. And so, you know, my question is to myself is, you know, we're at this point in the game, you know, are they maybe just a little tired, probably, you know, did they think that Colorado was going to mount this like epic comeback? I doubt it. I think that it's just one of those things. I mean, if you look at the header, it obviously hit a crazy angle. Burt had hops and it bounced higher than Cody could get to it. I mean, it was in the net. I don't know if it's something that we necessarily have to worry about more so, because I think that the guys are definitely playing differently. They're not being careless. They're definitely communicating. But I guess, you know, it could always be said that you've got to definitely defend against the set pieces. We don't have a lot of height with New Mexico. So aerial duels are not always in our favor. So that's kind of a little bit of what I wanted to touch on the game itself. Again, you know, it was like an almost like a perfect 90 minutes of play. And we haven't really seen that too many times. So going forward, you know, what I'm looking at is Salim Muhammad obviously ended his 3-match ban this past weekend. Okay, so now he's coming back. So that kind of leads me to think, what will the rotation be like in the midfield? You know, you have Santi there, obviously, on the left side. You got Hamilton there. I don't think Troy takes out Hamilton. I am kind of curious to think, does Troy move Hamilton back into a right-back rotation with Padilla just so that he could possibly utilize Salih in the middle of the lineup as well and have Guzman and Muhammad or Soler and Muhammad? I do kind of wonder if he does anything with that. So maybe Troy moves Hamilton back into the back line. Maybe he doesn't. If he doesn't, then you're going to have some serious rotation with Guzman, Solaire, and Muhammad, which is fine. Obviously, you're probably going to see at least two of the three in every match. But I guess I speculate that. But I'm glad that we got Salim Muhammad back in the lineup, because that will give Troy more options. So I'm kind of curious, obviously, what my cohorts would think about Salih coming back in. I guess I'll have to wait until they return to hear about that. But my take is that it's going to be a great addition to have him back in the lineup, and ultimately it's just going to come down to how Troy works him in, and does he keep Hamilton in the current place, or does he move Hamilton back just so that all the rotations are fresh and still utilize Hamilton kind of the way he has been utilizing him, just kind of in between. So let's talk about Devin Sandoval, okay? Devin Sandoval gets a hat trick, okay? In addition to that, currently he's obviously nominated as back-to-back Team of the Week for USL Championship. He's also currently sitting as a nomination for Fans' Choice Goal of the Week. So Sandoval is definitely getting some love now. We know that, you know, weeks prior to these last couple of matches, that there definitely was some serious drought. You know, I'm sure it was hard enough on him to be up front, to be looking for chances, and to be trying to take as many as he could, and nothing really worked out for him. In addition, you know, having the fans, you know, it was, you know, you're a fan of New Mexico United, you have all the right to obviously be happy when the team is winning and be disappointed when the team isn't doing well, and, you know, and that leads to, you know, questioning players' motives or questioning their attitude or their passion, and you know, and obviously fan to fan, sometimes the views are different, but, you know, they're all valid. So Sandoval is on the ups now. He's obviously scored all 5 goals in both matches. That is great, a brace and a hat trick. We're happy. I mean, the nation is happy. And so that's what matters right now. Obviously, we're looking for Sandoval to keep it up, you know, to be consistent. And so that's going to be what everyone's really focused on. So let's talk about the discipline report right now, too, as well. Looking at it today, the following players sit one card away from their fifth. So Juan Guzman, Santi Moir, and Ryan Williams. The following sit one card away from their eighth. Josh Suggs. And the following sits one card away from their 11th, Kevon Frater. That got me thinking today. You know, Troy has brought Frater in the last 2 matches with very little time left in the match. Now, I don't know this offhand. Maybe someone knows this out there. It's something I have to check in with, is if Frater played really well in these matches, whether he was coming in for 10 minutes or whether it was for 30 minutes, and obviously didn't get a card, you know, would the USL consider that good behavior, even as little as the 10 minutes from this last match, and be willing to rescind yellow cards? Because obviously not having him out on the pitch is saving him probably from a greater possibility of getting a yellow card. But we know even in the last 2 matches that it doesn't really matter how much time he's on the pitch. It's still a possibility because he's a physical player. He's passionate. I mean, you know, you can't fault him. Scores are coming with yellow cards, and of course, you know, you don't want that. You don't want to justify that. But every player plays differently. Some are physical and some are more finesse, and you know, and that's kind of the gamut here. But I just wonder, is it beneficial for the team for Frater to sit as long as he's sitting in these matches. One thought is, we all thought Sandoval needed to come off the bench. That was the echoed sentiment, that Sandoval needed to come off the bench and you had Frater and we had up top. And all of a sudden, Frater wasn't in and Sandoval scoring. So then it's like, okay, well, I guess, you know, the elephant in the room was a little different than most people thought. But that's not to say that if you take Sandoval off and put Frater up top with Weehan, that the same thing wouldn't happen. We don't know that yet. But is it beneficial? We need Frater. We do need his speed. He plays the ball on side correctly, and we're able to take advantage of the long passes sent up by Manny Padilla or Justin Smith. So I think we definitely kind of hurt when he's not in. But we got to figure out a way to stop the bleeding and not get the yellow cards, but still get the scoring out of Frater. So I think that's definitely something that's on the table. So before I continue, again, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Roadrunner Law Firm, for letting us use their office. This definitely helps the podcast out greatly, so we definitely do appreciate being able to use the office, especially for things like this where the crew is kind of dispersed and we wanted to make sure that there was still some sort of episode out there that we could be able to use the office on a random night. So definitely big thanks to you, Roadrunner, for that. And I am going to take us to a small break. I hope you're enjoying it so far. This is my first time doing it, so it's definitely very raw. But we're going to go to a break, and I'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Doral Motors is dedicated to providing the ultimate automobile buying experience. Doral Motors is your number one source for buying quality pre-owned vehicles. In addition, we offer a full array of financing options to meet your needs. Visit Doral Motors today at 6701 Lomas Boulevard Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Or make the phone call to 505-907-9549. Or visit Doral Motors online at doralmotorsnm.com.
Welcome back to We Are Seek and Strike. And again, I am your host, Chris Walker, and I'm missing my crew tonight. All right, well, let's continue. Last I left off talking about the discipline report for New Mexico United. And obviously, we definitely got some things to watch out for the guys as we're moving a little further into these last few matches to make sure that we still have our threats on the pitch. We're hoping that they play and can evade the yellow cards so we can get them out of harm's way. Let's talk a little bit about Reno. This is more of a preview. Again, we just finished the Doral Motors revved up recap. And again, we want to thank Doral Motors as well just for all their support in various ways. So moving into the preview for Reno 1868, the first time we played these guys, we lost 2-1 in the very last moments of the match. One of the goals scored in that match was actually by a area local, Sergio Rivas, who last played semi-professionally for the Albuquerque Soul. He's also joined by another Albuquerque, or by another Albuquerque local, I guess, for the moment, Sam Gleedle as well, who played for the Soul as well. However, when it comes to Reno, we got to look at a couple of different players. The first time around, we were really looking out for Brian Brown, but he has since, after the Gold Cup, he had signed a contract with Albania, so he was no longer a concern for New Mexico United. But as of late, Reno's run of play, they've got a couple of players that we definitely got to look out for. Corey Herzog, as well as Danny Muzovsky. And Danny Muzovsky is currently, he just got nominated, and he actually earned it, the Player of the Week for USL Championship. He got 4 goals in the match against Tacoma 2 weeks ago. And in this last match against Austin Bowl, he scored one of the goals, as well as Herzog as well. Just looking a little bit into their stats, Herzog is sitting atop leading the team with 14 goals. Muzovsky is sitting with 8. And of course, Brown is still holding a placeholder with 8 goals. Pretty sad for Gleedle. Gleedle's got to at least jump over a guy who's not currently sitting on the squad, but you know, a guy will try. Looking at assists, Mendiola's got 7 assists. Duke LaCroix's got 6. Herzog is sitting with 6 as well. When it comes to shots, Herzog is definitely leading the pack with 63 shots. And when it comes to chances created, Kasipul's got 74, which, let me just look at something really quick on Kasipul. So he's showing 74 chances created. And the crazy thing about that number is that there's like no one remotely close to him in chance creations, which leads me to think, obviously, this guy is definitely someone that our team has to be marking up. Because he's got twice as many as the next person. So that's something to look at. All right, so I'm pulling up the stats here because I just got to double check because it's a little crazy. Yep, so chances created, 74. Herzog's got 35. So that gives you any indication that Kasipul is definitely the person who's banging out the chance creation lately. When it comes to their goalkeepers are about equal when it comes to saves. Bersano sitting with 54, and Marcin Kowski is sitting with 48. They both are tied with 3 clean sheets each, and so on and so forth. With Reno, they're in a 4-3. Let's see what I say here. They're in a 4-3-1-2 formation. And of course, Troy plays in a 4-4-2 all the time. So obviously, Reno is sitting with 7 guys in the back. We're definitely going to have to really focus on stretching out their back line as well as those 3 there in the mid. If they keep their compact shape, then it will definitely be hard for us to work up the central lanes. So in this particular situation, I kind of think that it would be good for Troy to start Brucey, maybe over Estrada in this match, just to kind of utilize
Brucey's ability to get out wide and kind of isolate and kind of draw players to him. And that should ultimately create some openings on the backside for Santi or Chris or Devin to slip in behind the defense. So definitely looking at that, what does United need to do differently in this match? Again, Reno is sitting atop the table. I mean, they're obviously having a good run of play right now. And United has done well the last two matches. I mean, they've obviously fixed the ball movement. They've executed on chance creation, so you don't necessarily have the issues we had before with chances being created and not finished. It looks like they're having a little fun out there, which obviously is always good for the fluidity of the game. I don't necessarily think they need to do anything differently. They do probably need to consider the speed of Reno and just consider that with having that 4-3-2-1 back there, that, you know, if they over pursue, that it's obviously going to utilize a lot of their men. So they're going to have to make sure that they communicate in their back line and that they set their lines up high and maybe kind of bait Reno with the space somewhat. Pulling up the table now just to get kind of a better understanding of where everything sits within the USL West. So, yeah, so Reno sits three currently, 29 points. And their last five matches, they won two and they lost three. And exactly that. They won, lost two, and then lost three before that. New Mexico, you know, currently sitting 2-2-1 in our last five. So both teams stand to definitely keep their streak alive. You know, I think New Mexico just has to continue doing all the things that they are currently doing, which sounds kind of vague, but I think that, I mean, they are finishing chances, and they are obviously communicating in the back line. If it's not broke, I mean, there's really nothing much to fix currently. Just maybe watch out on yellow card accumulation is what I think has to happen. So I'm curious, obviously, to hear what Seth may think, or Alicia. So if you guys are out there, if you're listening, I would love to get a comment from you about what you think United needs to do going into this match, or if you fully agree that they should just keep the run of play the way it is and maybe just intensify in places where they need to. So we don't have any fan questions tonight, which is cool. I mean, we that's funny. We don't have any fan questions tonight. It's not that it's not cool. We missed the fan questions, and ultimately they're probably sending their questions to Josh. So Josh is getting them while he's out and about, and hopefully we'll have those next week. We missed the fan questions. Definitely love those, so we'll just continue to move on. I kind of created a couple of questions myself to kind of just put out there. But so we were talking earlier kind of about if you're a fan, you know, the right you have to express your displeasure in the team. Of course, if you are a member of the New Mexico United Nation on Facebook, you know, there's plenty of communication going back and forth, expressing the pleasure in the group of players and the displeasure. And And one thing that was interesting is as soon as Sandoval came away with three goals, of course, people were very quick to jump into the Facebook and go on a witch hunt looking for all the haters in the moment. And it was very entertaining, actually, just to see the folks that definitely did speak out against his performance just kind of identify themselves and just say that, you know, hey, I have a right to express when a player is not playing well, or, you know, and that doesn't make me less of a fan. And they're right. It doesn't make you less of a fan. I mean, we're all fans of sports. You know, when I sit in the press box, I can't really cheer in the press box. Yet there are people near me that are cheering. So I'm kind of watching the game differently. But when I'm sitting in my chair, you know, of course, you know, it's a different role. So I'm obviously very excited about the progress of our team, or will express the displeasure of our team as well. So I think if you're a fan, you know, is it okay to discuss when your team is playing subpar? Yes, I think it is. I'm curious to hear other people's thoughts, but I don't know if I'm going to get any questions tonight. I'll throw that number out once more. It's 505-818-7187. If you'd love to throw me a question and make me feel all special. But anyways, the other thing is Frater sitting an entire match really that good for him? That's a question I kind of generated myself. I mean, he goes in for 10 minutes. I just want to know, is that 10 minutes beneficial towards removing yellow cards? Because if it is, then of course Troy has got a great tactic with just sending him in every 10 minutes of the match. But I'm not even mad at him for that at this point. I also kind of brought some of the different questions we had asked Troy Lesain as well as the players after the last match. We had asked, you know, obviously Manny Padilla about his two assists that led to the two goals. And Padilla had to say, you know, my teammates, their movement off the ball, it was incredible. It just makes my life easier. I'm really happy that they move around and give me options. We asked Troy kind of his thoughts on the fan support and the weather delay, because as you remember, and I kind of didn't really say this at the top of the show, there was a two-hour weather delay, lightning delay. And so, you know, the stadium attendance did kind of thin out a little bit from that announced 12,000 plus. So definitely folks stuck around to watch the team win just a stroke before midnight. But anyways, Troy said the win in Oklahoma City kind of galvanized the team in a big way going into this final stretch of the year. We have plenty of home matches ahead of us. When you come here and experience what our fans are in general, especially after an hour and a half delay, you realize that our job is to win games. We have to win games. We have to give back to everyone who sticks around. Just my own comments on that. I mean, he's right. I think that it's cool that he acknowledges that fans stuck around. It was late. But I don't think that the folks that stuck around complained a bit. I mean, it was at least cool at night. It wasn't like the OC match where there was a delay and it was super hot. So these folks were a little bit accommodated, if you will. So then Sandoval was asked about the goals on the night. He says, in the weeks leading up to Oklahoma City, a lot of us were just knocking on the door, and it was just a matter of time before we scored. For me, it was just a matter of staying focused and not getting down on the fact that I hadn't scored, just staying hungry and ready. So, again, that's what Sandoval had to say about just being relentless and just being determined to get in the score line. And, of course, the last five goals is a testament of that. Another question was asked to Troy on having Sam Hamilton in the midfield. because I know everyone wants to know, but everyone is very pleased with the results. He says, I thought the combination of him and Juan Guzman last week was a great combination, particularly for that game and this week. The combination of him and Tony Soler was a wonderful match. Sam gives us a little bit of a different dimension in the midfield, and it is clearly somewhere that he is quite comfortable. So that's just kind of some of the questions that we asked post-match when we were at the press conference. So that's kind of give you a little bit of what's going on there. Before I kind of take us out of this show with a little bit more to talk about, I am going to take us to another break. And of course, I'll return afterwards from our sponsor. Even in lieu of not having a full-time fan Q&A that is normally brought to you by Roadrunner Law Firm, definitely want to shout them out again. Thank you for everything. The fact that I'm sitting here putting out this episode, which is super crazy, but definitely enjoying what's going on with it. Thank you, Roadrunner Law Firm, and so I will be back after word from our sponsors.
Where's the call, ref?
Yeah, that should have been a yellow.
They just never seem to get it right.
And the game continues.
If you have been hurt or injured by someone, you deserve the right call. Roadrunner Law Firm specializes in personal injury cases and wants you to get the right call. Raise up a yellow card if you've lost a loved one due to wrongful death, been in a car or motorcycle accident, been hurt by a drunk driver, or been hurt due to negligence of others. If the right call was not made, we'd like to hear from you. For more information, visit our website at www.roadrunnerlaw.com or make the call to Roadrunner Law Firm at 505-444-4321.
You're listening to We Are Seek and Strike. Let's kind of switch some gears here. We've talked about New Mexico United. We've talked about Reno. I know I haven't given my scoreline prediction, so I definitely better jump into that and do it. So I'm going to say just a scoreline prediction. Looking at the way we've been playing lately with Sandoval and with Santi and Chris and Josh and Manny, in fact, if you saw that clip that New Mexico United released, there were like 20 players that touched the ball, not 20 players. That's ridiculous. Cause I guess maybe Colorado Springs was touching it too. No, I mean, there's 20 times that they touched that before a goal was scored. But I will say this, I think that, Reno does have some obvious weapons. We can't take them lightly. They are sitting third at the table. I'd be ignorant if I tried to say that we were going to win 3-0. I do think we're playing well, and I think that as long as we're able to get in behind the defense and stretch them out a little bit and find chances, that we should be okay. Again, it is at our house, so I think that's a little bit of an extra boost for us. Can't say that it's indomitable because we have lost at home. I'm just going to say that we win 3-2. Okay, that is my scoreline prediction in the match. I think Devin gets in the scoreline. I think Monty gets in the scoreline for sure. And I don't know who that mystery goal is, but they can surprise me. So anyways, now that that is over, I wanted to move into some updates with our Lobos. So let's talk just briefly about UNM Men's Club Soccer. They are currently 1-3, with zero draws. They got the win over New Mexico Tech on the opening day. They didn't get the win on UTEP, Grand Canyon U, or Arizona State. And on Friday, they actually play Arizona Christian out in Arizona. So they're looking to get back in the win column there. They are currently looking for a head coach. So you can if you're definitely someone who loves to coach soccer, you're able to do it full time, then you definitely want to reach out to them on their Facebook, or even you can email their president at alexhernandez@unm.edu, and it's Hernandez with a Z at the end. And they're definitely looking for you, so maybe that's a match made if you're someone who can coach full time. Now jumping across the way to the Lobo women's soccer team, the ladies dominated Northern Arizona University 3-0 back on Sunday, and it was the Children's Cancer Awareness Match, in which they were wearing these limited edition gold tops with red numbers on the back. And of course, Northern Arizona came out in gold practice warm-up tops to honor the day. Lobos, Leilani Baker, Gwen Molly, and Jaden Edwards each had a goal in the scoreline. That puts the Lobos at 3-3-0, so 3 wins, 3 losses, 0 draws. Of course, this is all non-conference. On Friday, they'll travel down to Las Cruces to play New Mexico State. In that series, the Lobos are 8-1-0. They're 3-1-0 on the road. The current streak is 1 win. That match, again, will be streamed on the WAC Digital Network, with live stats being on GoLobos.com. Just looking a little bit into that match that the ladies played, to start off, it was a rainy game. Obviously, it was just in the same weekend as all the other weather delays that were experienced here. But the ladies played on. They came out definitely, I would say, in that wolf down mentality. They jump on every ball. There are winning balls up top. I mean, they scored their first goal within the first minute of the match. Leilani Baker grabbed the ball ultimately off of a pass from another player and was able to just really get past the goalkeeper and put it in. So one thing is to be said about this match with them winning 3-0 is that, honestly, they did definitely struggle when it came to maintaining the possession of the ball. There were many times where the Lobos were very aggressive, very physical, in places where they didn't need to be very aggressive or physical. They already had the ball won. They just needed more communication in those instances. Many times where they won the ball up high, the next decision wasn't the best one, so they end up giving the ball right back to NAU. NAU didn't really have much of a presence in the first half of the match. In the second half, it seemed like it was mainly NAU on the attack. And they didn't let up. They were more physical than the Lobos. And, you know, for a while, it just kind of looked like the Lobos had kind of gotten cold just because of, you know, being up so far on the scoreline. So that definitely is something that I think, looking at how the Lobos are currently playing, they kind of play two different types of matches. They play a match where they can just completely dominate in the first half and put up high scores, and then, you know, trying to maintain, they either aren't really challenged or threatened. But in this case, they had a team that was actually biting back, and it definitely could have resulted in some scores for NAU had they had the right opportunities. And then the other game they kind of play is a game where the other team is actually able to match them on the pitch and is able to put up points first, and so they are battling back from behind. And, you know, the women are resilient. They do find ways to try to get in the score line. Of course, you know, there are some instances where they couldn't, but they aren't. When they've lost, they haven't lost with by more than one goal. And when they're winning, it seems like they're winning by multiple scores. So it's kind of a little bit of the DNA of the Lobo women's soccer team. Again, they are playing Friday at NMSU. If you're able to make the trip, definitely go and support them. And next week, we'll obviously look and see more about how they did, as well as what UNM Men's Soccer Club did. We don't have any updates for girls' high school soccer this week. We'll definitely kind of reserve that for Alicia. That's a column that she likes to do. I did not talk about EPL tonight. That's something Seth likes to do, so we'll reserve EPL for when he returns. I'm sure he'll want to get in on how my fantasy team is suffering. And so I gladly invite that conversation when he returns back to us. Let's see if we have any final things here. Looks like I'm like, it's just me here. I guess I can make the decision, right? So I will. So I'm going to say final thoughts on the night is this. New Mexico United currently looking good. Okay, six more matches to go. We got Reno, we got Phoenix, both top of the table teams. Reno's third, Phoenix is number one. We know Phoenix is still winning, and they're on a collision course to either continue to win through New Mexico, or New Mexico has the opportunity to end this long winning streak with a draw or a win. Of course, you know, in last week's conversation, when we talked, we're good with the draw. We don't necessarily have to worry about a win against Phoenix, because they've already got the thing kind of clinched up top. But I'm sure it would be a great brag to get that win. You know, Reno's coming in, so we'll look for the boys to just kind of do the same thing that they have been doing. Hopefully we can get another enjoyable 90 minutes of soccer, and we can see Sandoval get in the scoreline again, as well as other players. With the Lobos, we look to see the winning continue. Ladies can add on to the win column with this win at New Mexico State. We look for UNM Men's Soccer Club to put on a win against Arizona Christian as well. So that's going to do it for me tonight. And I'm just going to say that this show wouldn't be possible without our sponsors. We'd like to give a huge Seek and Strike thank you to Doral Motors and Roadrunner Law Firm for their continued support. I'd like to personally thank Seth Bidolf, Alicia Maldonado, Josh Carrillo for their contributions on the podcast when they are here. It definitely adds much to the show. You know, so definitely miss those guys. So huge shout out to you guys. And then I'd like to also continue by saying that if you'd like to talk sponsorship for Seek and Strike, definitely send Seek and Strike Collective an email at seekandstrikecollective@gmail.com. Definitely willing to partner with people and create new ideas as well. And I said at the top of the show, and I'll say it again, you can listen to all previous episodes of We Are Seeking Strike podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and CastBox. If you hear something you like, please consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. Please leave us an episode review on Apple Podcasts. So I'm Chris Walker. This is my first episode solo. Hopefully I don't have to do this too many other times. Anyways, I just want to say a big Seek and Strike thank you to y'all if you're listening. If you catch it on the recordings, hopefully I didn't do too bad, and leave me a review. I'm going to get out of here. So you guys have a good night, and we'll see you on Monday with the crew at full strength.